Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next-door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Welcome to our episode this week. In the series that we kicked off last week about relationships and money, today we have someone really special, and it's our first guest episode as well. That's super exciting. So, let's get into it.
We have with us Dee Popat, Head of Family Department at James Berry & Associates Legal Consultants. She's also a legal consultant registered at the Dubai Legal Affairs Department and a solicitor of the Senior Courts of England and Wales.
It's really funny because I think we know her since at least 8-9 years. I do, and Rupali maybe longer. And we don't really talk about professions and professional work as much when we meet. So we're learning new things today as well. Welcome. Yay.
Thank you, Rupali and Kalyani. Thank you for having me on the show. And I'm really looking forward to answering your questions and being part of your podcast today.
Thank you. We've got a list of questions that we kind of brainstormed in terms of what we thought would be relevant to ask you from your rich experience of dealing with a lot of conflict mainly. And we're looking forward to getting your insight on them. I was actually, funnily enough, sitting with three other moms when I was brainstorming this with Rupali on chat as well. So I've got some external perspective on this. So the first question, I think, that's at the top of our minds is you deal with a lot of conflict. Like we said, it shows up as divorce proceedings, divorce cases. And what's the most common reason you see that people get to that point?
Okay, firstly, I know you use the word conflict. I think that's a very strong word because actually, although what may appear as a conflict, we eventually try to make as an amicable resolution. So we try to engage in processes such as mediation or collaborative law, where we can ask the husband and the wife to sit down to try and work matters out, to maybe make a list of differences, because they actually may be things that they agree on. So it's good to eliminate them first and then sit down and speak about what is actually at the crux of what may be a conflict, but necessarily not a conflict in the terms that we know. So regarding your question, during the time that I've been practicing in England and also in Dubai, there have been a number of prominent topics that come up, which one could say leads to the breakdown in the marriage. And there's a lot of misconception around the word divorce. Firstly, it doesn't have to be all fighting, and it doesn't need to cost lots of money. There can be times when the couple think about other issues such as the well-being of the children and also preserving the family finances, so that they can sit down and, you know, try to come to an agreement. So one of the things that does come up is a traditional stereotype that the man is the breadwinner and the wife is, you know, the homemaker. In this day and age, and I'm sure many of us listening to this podcast will realize that the roles are very much interchanged now. Both are equally educated, both are equally qualified. There's much scope for equality within the workplace, so women and men are getting equal packages. Then there's also equality in the house, where both the couple will be taking an active role in doing things around the house, in bringing up the children, doing school runs. So this traditional stereotype needs to now be taken with a pinch of salt, in my opinion. Another thing that comes up quite regularly is the taboo word of infidelity. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, yep. I have seen this as a big topic. I think this stems from a number of factors, especially in UAE. namely the lack of family support. Most people here, you know, by themselves, they may have limited family, or they may have friends who they have then assumed to be family, but there is not this pulling factor to, I would say, perhaps keep people in line. So when there are stresses such as finances or job pressures, I've seen that it leads to people perhaps having these extramarital affairs just because, as a matter of convenience, my colleague was there at work, my colleague was listening to me, my colleague understands what I'm going through. Not necessarily always colleague, it could be in a different environment. You know, my gym partner understands what I'm going through. I can speak to my gym partner much more easily. So these sort of factors come in. And in the background, because there is no family trying to remind the person who is going astray that, you know, they should try and speak to the partner as opposed to trying to speak to outside people. This leads to sometimes, you know, the people straying. In terms of finances, there are a lot of pressures, I believe, in the UAE, because we're all here on residence visas. Not many of us will have any permanent visa to remain in UAE, so you always have to have in your head a background plan as to what will happen once either employment is terminated here or you no longer can work for any reason in the UAE. That causes some indirect pressure in the first place anyway. Further, cost of living is going up. Elements in Dubai could be very expensive, grocery shopping, school fees is a big factor because, as we all know, we do not have state education here. Therefore, parents always have to think of the provision to make, to put aside a pot so that children will be provided for in terms of their education. This again causes stresses, and which could lead to the couple perhaps arguing or not agreeing on certain matters. The other thing that I would say is it's very easy to fall into a trap of having the liabilities pot build up, because it is actually easy to live outside of your means without realizing. There's peer pressure from friends, or, you know, you want to keep up appearances and want to be part of the crowd. So without, I would say, even realizing, you may be placing money where it's actually not required. And to go with that, I would say that it's very easy now to obtain loans. You can go to a bank, and as long as you have the provisions or you're working, as long as they're satisfied that you'll be able to pay, it is going to be very easy for you to obtain a loan. And sometimes I have seen that these loans probably may not have been required, but due to the lifestyle or the view of the particular person, they have got, you know, entered into this agreement without appreciating the full effects. This again will have an impact on the family purse, and perhaps argument escalating between the couple.
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting topic. You've covered such a wide variety of reasons, and the two things that I really take away from that is, one, the whole setup in terms of a traditional family, the role of one of the spouses versus the other, and the second aspect that I took away from it is the emotional support that we may or may not have in Dubai. So finances and mindset really play such a big role in, you know, a few of the reasons that you mentioned. And it's just about awareness, right, where people don't have the awareness that it's always easy to think, oh, it'll happen, you know, it happens, but it won't happen to me. And as horrible as it sounds, you don't want to think of the end of a relationship or such a situation where you are at this point where you have to make a decision. But I think, you know, like we always, you know, like as a necessity, like food or water, we make sure we always have that. Yeah. I feel like these things, in terms of your backup plan, your financial situation, I feel like it's become that important to kind of make sure we put into place.
Yeah, very much so. And I had a bit of a flash of thought on the side that a lot of your work must include a lot of coaching. Do you become a therapist sometimes?
I think my clients sometimes see me. They have access to me through my work, also my work mobile number. Mm. But sometimes they come to see me as someone who is there as their support system, because I understand the family dynamics in relation to the law, and also I understand how or what they may be going through to have come to this position. Sometimes, actually, most commonly, is the fact that the person who is going through this does not actually realize until it is quite far along the line. In a way, this is perhaps to do with ignorance, because they don't want to. They don't want to realize that something is happening in our family unit. So they will carry on. They will carry on working. They will carry on putting appearances in front of friends, even family. But this can stem from ignorance. And I think one thing the people should realize is finances is one of the, I would not say the sole root cause, but one of them. And therefore it's very important to have some sort of transparency and perhaps visibility into what your particular family finances are, and speak to your husband or your wife so that you can sit down together and work on options or plans to go through a regime which could help, not leading to something drastic such as a separation or a divorce.
Yeah,
it's there's so much to go into within this topic. I can imagine people have such specific circumstances and situations. In each case, like you said, people are not even aware that it's too far along. There's a lot of denial. These things can be such, it probably comes up at the worst possible time, where you're the most vulnerable, where you're the most, you feel like you, in Dubai, people think we're living this high life, but there is a big aspect of, you know, the lack of a support system. There's a lot of sacrifices you make in choosing to live in Dubai.
Yeah.
There are ways to go about it. There are changes that are happening in Dubai, which are quite exciting, actually, the new laws, which we'll definitely go into in a second. And I think the role we were hoping to play in Fantastic Females is to really cover different aspects of finance and mindset, to empower our listeners, whether it's in their relationship, whether it's in their personal capacity. We do kind of often talk about it from the woman's perspective, but that's because we're women and we talk about our stories. But there are many men whereby, you know, there's infidelity with the woman who's out there working. He may be the homemaker in the traditional sense. There's so many different roles that can be played. And so that's what I just wanted to highlight. It actually applies to both men and women.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. I have to say that when people ask me, you must have a lot of women clients, or you must have a lot of male clients, actually, it's equal, and I wouldn't say that there's one gender that's solely responsible for these sort of activities, because it's all about equality in everything. So people are responsible for the same amount of things. People are responsible for being aware of matters such as finances, and it is so important. I cannot highlight the importance of being financially aware, whether it be in a working relationship or whether it be in a marriage relationship. I would just, my general advice to everyone would be to have some sort of transparency with your spouse so that you can both lead happy and lives that include knowing fully and being aware of, you know, what's happening in the other's lives. I understand there needs to be an element where you may want to have your own sort of pot or your own privacy. So I'm not, in, you know, saying to you that you go out there and everything must be completely transparent. But it's so important, especially if you're the economically weaker party, in that I mean that perhaps you're not working for any reason, that you have a provision so that, you know, in any unfortunate circumstance, you're not left in a situation where you have to perhaps return to your home country or to then rely on people or even family to try and help you get out of the situation.
Yeah, I can think of two cases recently that I know of personally that went through something different. We've spoken about disagreement, but in these cases, the earning partner passed away without any illnesses or, I mean, no one expects it to come when it does, but it was really sudden. And in both the cases, the other, they happened to be the female partners, the surviving partners. They had no clue about what accounts there were, how much was the monthly outflow, inflow, nothing. And then in that time, it was very difficult for the kids, or in some cases, the work colleagues who knew more than the partners did, to explain. And, you know, you're already going through grief, and then to deal with financial details when you were probably not interested in them when things were okay. So I know a very close friend is going through this with her parents, and the mum is just not registering if there's enough to lead the same lifestyle, if there isn't. So even if there, and their relationship was really inspirational, really beautiful, which is all superb. But then when you become so interdependent, it's also probably not healthy. And that's what I'm kind of taking from what you just mentioned. Do you find this change of balance? We spoke about this last episode, that our generation, or what we're seeing right now, may probably be the first time that we're seeing a change in balance of power between, globally, between males and females, in terms of, like we said, the traditional roles are changing now. Do you see that brings up conflict, or do you see a little bit of ego that comes with being the higher earner and the decision-making power that brings, or is that not a factor really?
It just depends. I think it does depend generation to generation. Someone of the elder generation may have a slightly traditional view, that whereas younger millennials may, you know, now have the view that there's equality in every stage of one's life, therefore that shouldn't be an excuse. So I see that in varying fields whilst I'm working. I just wanted to go back and mention before we forget this, you were talking about how important it is to have the financial visibility. It's not only always to do with money, it's also to do with documents. I mean, many people make provisions for life policies, for various insurance policies, for wills. Therefore, as far as possible, during the marriage, it would always be a good idea to share these thoughts or ideas or even documents with the other party or someone within the family, so that in the unfortunate event, I mean, the scenario you talk about, as Kalyani mentioned, would be when someone passes away without making any provisions. But there's also scenarios such as someone falling ill or having a terminal illness. Again, there may be a loss of income adduced from the illness. There may be a lack of income, which may not be sufficient to provide for any policies or any mortgage. Therefore, it's important to ensure that various documents are shared during the marriage, So again, just to reiterate, life insurance policies, any other mechanism that you may have entered into, for example, if there was an investment plan which had a growth within a certain amount of time, it'd be important for the spouse to know about that in case they needed to access money. And wills is also very important for anyone owning any assets in the UAE. I cannot reiterate the importance of ensuring that you have a valid will put in place so that in the event of an unfortunate death, provisions can be made for the family, and so the family will not need to go through excessive hardship as well as dealing with the grief.
Yeah, because in the UAE, correct me if I'm wrong, but as soon as you have the death certificate, the accounts are blocked, right? I suppose that's standard practice anyway, but I think it's a little more important here because what we mentioned earlier in terms of how things are usually set up.
So again, I have to say wills, inheritance is not my speciality, but yes, that is the general consensus that once someone has passed away, usually there will be a block on the accounts, there will be other formalities which cannot be progressed without you obtaining the official documents, for example, the death certificate. So I would reiterate that it's really important to get the advice of a wills or inheritance lawyer to ensure that you are not someone who has to go through these hardships at a time where you are having to deal with grief.
Yeah, I think what I would love to know actually is in terms of, you know, just people here, couples here that are thinking about getting married, that are already married, what are your views on prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, and obviously the third aspect which you just mentioned is wills. So
yeah.
So as a lawyer, no doubt I would advise that there are always provisions made so that when it comes to a time, for example, if we take the issue of prenuptial agreements or postnuptial agreements, at the time of the divorce, each party needs to experience as less stress as possible, and also for them to be able to move on with their lives knowing that there's not going to be further arguments, which in turn leads to further costs being paid in relation to matters which you have already settled either prior to the marriage or just after the marriage. So just for the purposes of clarity, a prenuptial agreement is an agreement entered into prior to the marriage whereby you put down all your wishes, and it can relate to anything. It can relate to finances, it can relate to children, it can relate to property, it can relate to specific personal belongings that you may have. You may have collected some art, you may have some jewelry. All these, it can also apply to pets. I know some pets are very dear to their owners. So you can put in provisions to do with absolutely anything in the prenuptial agreement. The prenuptial agreement, again, is a document entered into prior to the marriage. On the same note, the postnuptial agreement can outline the same things as I've stated, but this is done after the marriage. In my experience, sometimes, just because prenuptial agreements were not too popular and they were thought to be unromantic, people had not given thought as to how such a document could affect them in the event of divorce or separation. So sometimes when people are thinking of separating, they come to me and I would draft a postnuptial agreement essentially containing the same information as to what they want to happen to the finances, what they want to happen to assets, what they want for their children, what they want for personal belongings, what they want to happen in the event of death. So it's so important to enter into these agreements. I have to say, in my 20 years or so of practicing, initially these documents were seen as unromantic or perhaps even unnecessary. However, during the years, I have seen a particular interest and a growth in those wanting to enter into these agreements, because they will then realize that when it comes to a time such as separation or divorce, the costs and the arguments, so this is financially and emotionally, will be cut down tremendously having such a document in place.
So, yeah, very interesting to know. One other thing that I wanted to bring up was non-traditional career choices. So in my family, one of my cousins is married to a comedian, a stand-up comic, which was hard for the parents to digest. And he's doing really well, but there's that. And then I know someone in my friend circle who is an influencer, and she's doing really well. She earns really well, but she doesn't get taken seriously, for example, from her partner, her spouse. And does that have any impact in terms of, I don't know, stable income or discussions, or is just something that I would like to hear your perspective on?
Again, I think that's very much a traditionalistic approach, whereby people have certain concepts or certain jobs which they put into a category of, you know, the idealistic doctors, lawyers, accountants. Yeah. And more so now are the jobs, you know, marketing skills. My personal opinion would be that any job, whatever the job is a value. It's a value to the person who's doing the job. And no doubt anyone doing a job will look for it to be resourceful. So in order of either job satisfaction or, more importantly, to the family unit, some sort of income. So I don't actually agree that these non-conventional jobs, I put that in inverted commas, are not either realistic or need to have a great impact on the family finances. It's actually what you make out of it and actually how you're going to grow the business yourself. So I, in a nutshell, I would not say that this is a downfall, especially when coming to legal documents or even in the family unit.
Yeah.
I think it's become so relevant today. I mean, with people doing so many different things versus what even us, I mean, what we thought we'd do after our qualifications and the evolution of things and, you know, the thought process and how open we are today to different types of careers going forward. People don't even refer to them as careers anymore.
Yeah.
it's very, very cool because things have become so open now.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that. However, I see where you're coming from, because they are people from our generation who do have that traditional mindset. And this is again linked to understanding and knowing the person for who they are versus seeing them through the lens of what career they do. And again,
yeah, very
the
much.
Communication that we mentioned earlier between partners doesn't just have to be finances. Actually, open communication could avoid things like infidelity, for example, where you're more aligned in terms of your thought processes. If there are any doubts or things that you're thinking that puts you off your the spouse, or, you know, results you in taking them less seriously, then these conversations can really avoid that. And it's actually exciting, the amount of opportunity that's out there in a non-traditional sense.
Yeah, very much. It'll be nice to maybe understand the new laws that have come up. We've seen it being spoken about in the news, but I don't think a lot of us understand what the impact is on our lives, on our documentation, on what we should be considering. So Dee, if we could please go into that.
So the new laws, which came into effect on the 1st of February this year, essentially entail the expat non-Muslim community to feel more safe and know that their rights or their principles will be protected by the law. For example, on a good note, there's now an easier regime for expats, non-Muslim, to marry through the Dubai course.
Oh.
Previously, there were requirements with regards to obtaining certain documents. The parties had to go for a medical test. They had to have other documents.
Oh.
And it was not so easy to marry through the Dubai courts. For example, if you're a Hindu, you would need to seek advice in marrying through a temple. Again, if you're a Christian, you would marry through the churches, certain churches which are registered in the UAE. These preconditions have now been made easier. Therefore, this process and the actual formalities required to marry as an expat non-Muslim in the UAE have become much more easier.
Are interfaith marriages easier as well as a result? I know a couple at work who had to fly to Cyprus, I think, to get some
documents.
So
interfaith marriages are allowed. However, it is very important to know that although a Muslim man can marry a non-Muslim woman, the implications legally may need to be sought. For example, provisions on inheritance and also provisions for children. On the same note, many people are not aware, a marriage between a non-Muslim man and a Muslim woman is what is called a void marriage. Therefore, it may be legal in the country which you married in. For example, many people go to Cyprus or Seychelles to have a wedding, but it is not acceptable here. So that's called a void marriage.
Wow.
So again, it's really important to seek legal advice when having the interfaith marriages.
What about marriages between non-residents in the UAE? Is that changed at
all?
So
at present, the law states that one of the parties must have a residence visa for the UAE. Mm. So if the other party is a non-resident, then it's fine. But for the both parties to be non-resident, no doubt they can have a destination wedding in the UAE, but they will not be able to complete the formalities of a civil marriage.
Right.
Right. So they would need to register in their home countries or one of the home countries.
Yes, so the court marriage or the civil marriage would have to take place in a country which allows. That's why you hear of many people going to Seychelles, going to Cyprus, going to other destinations to register their marriage.
Yeah.
The other very important thing that has come out, there's a number of things that have been allowed by these new laws. Obviously, you would have all heard that you can now live together without being married. This is a great advancement in terms of the Sharia law.
Mm.
This was previously a prohibition, however, is now allowed. One other very surprising change is that couples do not need to be married to have a child in the UAE.
Oh.
Saying that, this is just general advice, and there are certain preconditions which come on later, and this is beyond the remit of this conversation. But there are various matters that have now been allowed in the UAE, which I feel lead to the expat community being more confident that their rights and certain provisions would be made for them. And the other big change is that in line with many Western laws, that when you go through a divorce now, this is just for expatriate non-Muslims, the courts will look at certain elements in the marriage upon the parties divorcing. For example, they will look at the length of the marriage, the husband's contribution to the divorce, the party's contribution financially, provisions for the children. Previously, these were not concepts that the UAE court would be obliged to look at. Therefore, decisions could be made on what was the Sharia law and how matters should be concluded. However, this new elements in the law will allow parties to rest assured that the circumstances in respect of their particular marriage are being looked at with the hope of coming to an amicable resolution and for both parties to be protected, especially when it comes to finances.
I read a little bit about the wills and inheritance kind of, I know it's again maybe outside of your specific specialty, but it's definitely, you'll definitely know more than any of us would. In the case of passing away of one of the spouses, especially the male spouse, we were told earlier that, you know, custody of the children would be given to the next male relative. The finances go directly to the next male relative. Would you be able to shed some light on if that's changed?
So again, although that's not my speciality, I am aware, because obviously within the family dynamic you need to deal with issues such as death, but I am aware that the new laws that have been made provide a much more favourable outcome to the aggrieved spouse, whereby provisions will now be made for, I believe, at least 50% of the assets to be given to the spouse. And again, with the children, there are provisions which protect not only the children from a financial point of view, but in terms of minors whose parents have passed away, there will be provisions for their arrangements for the children to be made through a will.
Great. It seems like a few steps in the right direction in one go.
Yeah, I think it's been such a great conversation. We would definitely be keen to have another conversation with you on maybe different types of topics in the future. It was so nice to have you as our first guest on Fantastic Females. We certainly have learned so much about the changes. I mean, I didn't look into it too much. So all I saw was some headlines here and there. And so to have that perspective from someone who is working in this field, it's really nice to have you on the show.
We were saying earlier that sometimes we're all part of a group of friends and you kind of end up being in a bubble where luckily we see a lot of happy relationships or relationships that are working on it constantly, whereas of course you come into contact with all sorts and there's so much wisdom to gain from your experience. So thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you, ladies, for having me. It's been very enlightening for me. It's good to know that people wish to know more about their rights in the UAE, what they're entitled to, what the law says. I would always suggest that if there are any doubts, you know, legal advice should be sought. Even having avenues such as this podcast is a good way of people in the UAE to be made aware of what they should be looking at in the event of, could be separation, could be divorce, could be even, you know, repatriation, even when it comes to family matters, whether advice needs to be sought regarding wills, grey areas such as death. But it's really important, and thank you guys for having me on your show and for the wonderful podcast that you're producing.
Yeah, of course. I would like to end with the fact that Dee takes time out to put a lot of information there for people who may not want to get to the point of seeking legal advice. She writes a lot, and will add a link to where you can find the blog posts written by her in the show notes. There's a wealth of information there as a place to start. So thank you very much, and we'll meet next week with an interesting conversation again.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.